Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the heavens would tremble before you, as when fire set twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the heavens trembled before you. Since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, and we are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people.
Good morning. Doesn't hardly seem possible that it could be the beginning of Advent already, that we're only a few weeks from Christmas this time of year. But it is. We're going to do things a little bit differently. I'm not going to have two sermons. I'm going to have two meditations, and Lord willing, we won't get beyond what one sermon would be. But my goal is, in this Advent season, as we mark down the time of Christ's coming at Christmas, we're beginning to get a handle on why. As we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, God gives a very uniform message that He desires to bring us close to Himself. But for some reason or another, we as His people don't get it. We don't get it. And Isaiah, in this passage, I think sort of reflects some of the frustration we actually have with some of the season. I mean, when we think about Christmas and the reason that we celebrate it every year, do we really get it? Do we really understand what we're celebrating? Do we understand God's plan? How He was doing it in the Old Testament? Why Jesus came, and that He's coming again, and we are currently in preparation for it. So as we think about Advent and we think about Isaiah 64, we see a very, very frustrated prophet. And he begins that passage by, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would shake and tremble before you." We got a frustrated prophet here. A very frustrated prophet here. He's bringing a message to his people in a very tumultuous time, to use a big word. I mean, this time politically in the land of Judah would have been like Washington, D.C. in election year. I mean, it was crazy business because the king was to be leading the people, but he himself was put into bondage one way or another as a vassal of a foreign country. And so he became a puppet. Isaiah's frustrated because for one reason or another, God's people will not listen. God's people will not respond. God's people are not putting their lives before Him. They're not willing to see what they need to do to follow what God has asked them to be. So Isaiah is calling out for resolution. He's calling a people to lay their lives before the Lord, knowing that they've sinned and they need to come back to God. They need to lay their lives before Him in such a way like clay does, and allow the Master to shape them into a vessel worthy of His work. And he's frustrated It's not happening. Now, from history, we know that Isaiah's prophecies were true. Not only was Israel carried off, and the 10 tribes associated with it, never to be brought back to the Holy Land again in the same form they had left. But the prophecies of Isaiah would be fulfilled. And Judah also, representing the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, would be taken away to Assyria for 70 years because of their disobedience. They would not allow themselves to be clay in the Master's hand. Now, I want to think a little bit. I don't know how your season's going. I don't know how you've planned this Christmas season or this Advent season. And maybe you've already come to that moment, that Isaiah moment, where you say, I see the calendar. I see all the things that are coming up. Oh, Lord, rend the heavens. Help me get my shopping done. Help me get that meal made. Help me make that deadline. Anybody resonate with Isaiah here? Okay, maybe not. You can dismiss the whole first part of the sermon then. But maybe you're entering into this season with the same kind of frustration that Isaiah has. And basically Isaiah is calling the people to lay their lives before God. Allow God to get the impurities out. Let's confess our sins. Let's get back before the Lord. And allow our lives to be molded by the Master, as a potter would form the clay. Basically, we're asking for God to help us understand what we're to be doing in these times of chaos. So if you would, share this prayer of confession with me. Bow your heads. Mighty God, we trust You because You're the Creator and You are our Lord. You've done awesome deeds. You've done things that we would never expect. Yet we're sort of like clay, Lord. We're really not fit for Your hands. With our lumps of doubt, our lumps of fear, our stones of disobedience, we fall short of Your righteousness. Lord, forgive us for our transgressions, for not heeding Your instruction. Forgive us for our impatience, trying to tell what You need for us to do. Forgive us for being afraid that You've already abandoned us. In Your great goodness, O Lord, forgive our sin. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful.
Thank you, Lindsay. Let's begin with prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, thank You for Your advent into history because You love us. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd bring our message, that You would guide the words spoken here this morning in a way to bring You honor and glory and praise, and to help us as Your people to be formed into what You would have us to be formed for Your service in this day and time. So by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, lead us. as we think about Your Word, as we reflect upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to bring a cloth from my workshop, and Brenda decided maybe not. This one doesn't smell too bad. Actually, I love your fabric softener. But can we, in one way or another, acknowledge that as we come before the Lord, as we prepare to draw nice near to Him, we, one way or another, bring our lives along, can't leave them behind, and our lives are full of blotches, tears, brokenness, scraped along our life a little bit, you know, rubbed along the things that we've been through, and we bring little bits of it along. So everybody here this morning probably brought a little bit of your week along. Anybody had no thoughts about what happened last week, this morning, during this worship service? Be honest. I mean, you were thinking about the turkey, or lack thereof, or you were thinking about what happened with the family. We're bringing it along, aren't we? And as we come to worship, that's one of the reminders, is the fact that we're bringing our lives along before the Lord. And so how do we understand, in the midst of bringing our lives before the Lord, that He might have a plan for us? That He might have something more for us? How do we understand a God who loves us so much that is willing to intercept in history to show His love? How do we understand? Isaiah was frustrated. Because though the message he was bringing was right on and was given to him by the Lord, nobody received it. Very few received it. Very few understood it. And what was he doing? He was calling a people to allow God to mold them. He was calling a people to lay their sin down and allow God to refresh them for His purpose. You see, really the bottom line of what's going on is we don't understand. We have a hard time comprehending this God who brings us these commandments and yet still loves us. We have a hard time understanding this God who's put together this universe so intricately that it takes scientists many, many years and many tests upon tests to figure out, now how did He do this? Of course, they want to lay it off somewhere else, but how did He do this? Sort of like this lady and her car. So this lady brings her car into the mechanic and says, it has this noise at 70 miles an hour that I can't seem to get fixed. And I've taken it to mechanic after mechanic after mechanic to get this noise fixed, and they can't fix this noise. So the mechanic took it in his shop, and he checked it all out. And he couldn't, in the shop, it didn't make this noise. So the mechanic got the idea, say, lady, do you mind if I ride with you as you do what you normally do when you hear this sound? So the mechanic, brave mechanic he was, got into the car with the lady, and she torqued this old car out, and she was going 70 miles an hour down the highway. She had her radio on, and she rolled the back windows down. You know what happened? It was a whoa, 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 whoa. You get when you roll the back windows down, leave the front windows closed. She has caused the problem. She had caused the noise herself. And so the guy sits over here, you know, nice like mechanics are. So have you ever tried rolling the windows up in the back? Oh, yeah. That takes care of the noise. Part of the problem that we deal with in our lives is we really don't understand. We've got some basic working knowledge of what it means to follow the Lord, but we really don't understand all the innuendos and ins and outs. And we think that we have to understand everything before we can really turn our lives over, don't we? We want to understand all the workings before we really yield our lives to God. We want to be able to dissect those Greek pronouns before we can really understand. Now, is that really what he said or not? We want to be able to explore hermeneutics before we really... Yeah, I got you on that one, didn't I? Before we really can say, well, I understand God. But is that really what God's saying? Basically, God's saying, I want you to yield your life to me. I want you to let go and let me take care of things. I have a bigger plan than you ever will understand. I don't think that Israel understood that they were going to be taken, that 10 tribes would be consumed because of their disobedience. And we know that even though Isaiah was preaching this message, that Judah didn't get it, but at least they yielded enough that they were saved after those 70 years. Isaiah would put his life on the line to give that message. Isaiah, for his persistence in telling the king what the king did not want to hear, cost him his life. He was sawn in two. But you see, we live on the flip side of this. On the flip side of this, Jesus Christ, God's own Son, has broken through history to reveal to us in details what God wants of us and what He expects of us. He doesn't expect us to understand everything right away, but He wants us to know that He loves us enough to put His own life on the line for us. He's willing to sponge away all of our sin by His own blood. This God is willing to break through history now as He has in the past, as He did in the Exodus, as He did as they crossed the Jordan, as He did as He brought those two tribes out of Assyria and back to their homeland. You see, God wants to break through again, and He will break through again in this history. And we know that He's coming. And some of us are saying, oh, rend the heavens and come soon, because we see so many things outside that are they're pressing upon God's people. And Paul talks about it in a different way. Paul's talking about it that we've already arrived at what we need. That if we know this Jesus and know what He's done in our lives, we've got the understanding that we need. This grace has been given us in Jesus Christ, verse 4. For in Him you have been enriched in every way. In all your speaking, in all your knowledge, because of our testimony about Christ being confirmed in you. Now really, as we go into this Advent season, many of us will feel, when pressed, that we don't have a message that we can share. That we don't have anything that we have to say. And we definitely don't want to end up with Isaiah with a trim plan that doesn't work very well. But brothers and sisters, we know Jesus. Each and every one of us that knows Jesus, Paul would say, is already equipped to share in this day and time. That you already understand, just because we understand Jesus, we've got it down pat. Paul would say that we've got the knowledge, that we've been given the spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That God has called us into a fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ because He's faithful. You see, God has a plan. And I think many of us walk around each and every day thinking that we and our day planner has been put together by God. Boy, did it get quiet. But in order for us to be like clay in the Master's hands, we've got to give up our day, the solidness of our day planner and say, when God wants me, I'm ready. I'm ready to do what God wants me to do. If the Holy Spirit moves in my life and says, I've got to deal with a sin, I'm going to deal with it. In spite of what's going on in my life, if He, and I'm so terribly, terribly busy, if He asks me to do something, I'll go ahead and do it. Because I want to make sure that I understand that I don't understand. That the plan that God has is bigger than me. The plan that God has is bigger than you. But, you know, I hate to shock you, but even the preacher don't have the whole plan. I don't know what God's going to do. I'm amazed at what He's been doing. I've been amazed at what He's done. I'm going to be amazed at what He's doing in the future. But we can only stand amazed as long as we leave the plan in God's hands and then offer ourselves as willing contributors to what God's wanting to do. And that's laying our lives down. That's less about us and more about Him. I know that in this time of year, there's a lot of static that gets mixed up with the message that God would have us as Christians to share this time of year. That Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem for our salvation and their salvation. God understands the static. The static's been out there for generations. But what He asks us to do is to live into the understanding He's already given us. Now, as we sit here as a congregation, we've got baby Christians, not been Christians very long. We've got people who have been Christians here for a very, very, very long time. Right? Yes, okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you. God just asks us to be understanding that He understands. Help us to understand the next piece. Because I guarantee as we go from this place this morning, as we go into our coming week, you're going to hit one of those times and say, oh Lord, why did this happen? And I hit that one about three times this last week. I'd say, oh Lord, how did I end up here? Or how did I end up doing this? Or why is this going on, Lord? Or why am I in this complicated situation that I can't quite back up out of that easy? And when we say that, at least we're confessing before God that we don't understand. And we allow God the space to say, got you on that one, didn't I? I've got something more for you. In my life, every time I've come against that wall where I end up like Isaiah, oh Lord, rend the heavens! It's been that moment where I could, once I say it, confess it if you will, God has given me the next step. So as we go into this coming week, as we advent, if you will, into this Christmas season, with all its complications and its shopping and its parties, and it be open. If you get in that tight spot, do an Isaiah. Oh Lord, what do you want me to do now? Rend the heavens, because I don't get it. And allow God the space to say where your next step should be. But in the midst of all the static of the season, give an understanding. Don't be bashful. We have the opportunity in this season to declare Jesus Christ as Lord, and more people will listen than not. Yeah, there's some people that want to have a happy holiday. But there's a lot of people who need Jesus. And you might just be present at the time that they come up against their wall and say, oh, why am I in this situation? And you can say, hey, rend the heavens with me. I have someone who understands where you're at, and I'd like to share them with you. And you don't need a theological degree to to share your love of Jesus with anybody. So as we go into this Advent season, and we enter into the busyness of what goes on, let's understand that God loves us. And He not only loves us, but He loves that person who cuts you out of your parking space. He loves that person who picked up that last item on Black Friday that you wanted. God loves them. You might be frustrated with them, but God loves them. God loves that person who doesn't understand this season at all and just declares happy holiday. And God loves you. We are given the opportunity to share into our communities this time of year a gift, a very precious gift of God's love. And we don't need to do that in dollars and cents as much as we need to do it from our hearts in a community that's aching. Aching. Some of them are suffering because they don't know Jesus. And you say, well, Don, it's not that simple. But it's really a good place to start. Sometimes we get in those situations that we're waiting for Jesus to come. And I don't know why it seems to happen this time of year. The frustration mounts and things get difficult and schedules get hairy. I thought of a song last night, and I had another song picked for the end of the service this morning. But it's those times that I run into that wall wondering what the next thing's going to be or how we can get into tomorrow. And I think about that song, Because He Lives. I know it's an Easter song, but sometimes I think maybe we could make it a Christmas song. I mean, Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all my fear's gone. And that's what I hope we start living into in this Advent season, that we start living because He lives. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, we thank You for Advent. We thank You, Lord, that we're not in the Old Testament and being ready to be consumed by another nation. But Lord, in reality, we live in the here and now, and sometimes we're scared and feeling like we're being consumed here as well. Lord, we love You. We're still working on how much. Remind us how much You love us, Lord, each and every day. And let us draw our strength from our knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and risen Savior, being sure that because He lives, yes, Lord, we can face tomorrow. Even in the shopping mall, even in our workplace, because You live, we can face tomorrow. So will Your peace, may Your peace go with us as we step out for You, Lord. This we understand. In Jesus' name, amen.